Good afternoon, and thank you for returning to your seats so promptly. I've been asked to give the SOTA. Anybody know what the SOTU is? A lot of us in the last few weeks have heard about the State of the Union Address. Well, I've been asked to give the State of the Association Address this afternoon. And for some of you, this will just be boring statistics that you've heard before. For others of you that are here for the first time, some of this may be very new. I'll try to go over it as quickly as possible. You may be wondering, who is ABA? You have maybe vaguely heard about it before. You know a little bit about it. Hopefully, after being here today, you have a little bit more of an understanding of at least one of the things that we do as an organization. It is literally a local nonprofit organization that began hosting business seminars in 2011. And I'm curious, is there anyone here that's been to all 10? This is our 10th one this year. Anyone here that's been to all 10? Okay, I do see a few hands. That is quite something that you were, and we really, and I know many of you have been to 6, 7, 8 of them over the years, that you've been regular supporters of ours over the years, and we certainly do appreciate that support. It's directed by a 6-man board selected from the local Anabaptist church community, and as we did today, every year there's one person comes off and another person is elected on. Our mission statement is as follows: to assist Christian business leaders and their businesses by providing resources, educational events, and business counsel consistent with Anabaptist beliefs and values. So how is Anabaptist engaged? How is ABA, engaged in the local community? We do several things. We do the annual business seminar, which is this today. Talk a little bit more about that. We have just started doing, we've hosted our first biannual deacons and financial advisor seminar. And the third thing that we do is business advising and coaching, which I'll talk about each of those a little bit more just in a bit. What else should we do? Well, really, that is what we would like to hear from you. And we are open to your suggestions and your ideas. We have thought about facilitating further business workshops where we would, narrow down to very specific skills and certain things. We've also considered encouraging or facilitating family finance seminars. And what we have in mind here would maybe be doing things like training the trainer. So if perhaps your church, broader organization, as a group of churches, think that yes, there are people in our circles that we think could teach this to our young married couples or whatever, but you don't really know where to start. There are all kinds of resources out there. We have access to some of those resources. Anabaptist Financial has some of them, and we would definitely consider doing a train-the-trainer type seminar where a bunch of people that are interested in doing this type of teaching would get together, and we would go through some of the possible curriculums that are out there. So those are some ideas that we have, but we are, like I say, we're very open to your ideas and welcome them, that you would bring them to the board. How is ABA structured? Here's the org chart. We have a 6-member board. Underneath that, we have Paul and Philip, who work as administrator and assistant administrator. Then we have, below that, we have a business advising group of men, three advisors that we have that are available on a regular basis. We're looking at possibly adding a fourth or fifth as needed, but that is something we keep working on. We're doing the seminars and also some of the other initiatives that I was talking about. So, just a few things in regards to the, I can't do two things at once. Financial statements. We do have a set of financial statements. They are available to be looked at if you have an interest in that type of thing and would want to see them. We have them audited annually by two outside persons, and certainly they are available for you to look at. Just talk to Philip or Paul, and they would be happy to walk you through them. To date, the business seminar, the thing that we have that we do right here, has been financially sustainable. We've been able to run it based on the funds that you provide, as well as help to run a bit of the rest of the organization with that, some of the administrative staff and so on that goes with that. The Deacons and Financial Advisor Seminar, this time was funded entirely through the generosity of some of you that are sitting right here, some local business people, and if you are one of those people, you know who you are, we very much appreciate it. I was just amazed. It literally was just going out and saying please, and the money was there, and it was given very willingly, and we are extremely thankful. To date, the business advising program has been, or it's well on the way to being financially self-sustaining. That is our eventual goal. And it's, I would say, fairly close to that. We are currently in the process of incorporating ABE as a nonprofit, a non-charitable organization. And just for those of you that maybe were a little bit confused, Merle kept talking about nonprofits. Most of the time, the term that he was using there, we would better understand as a charitable organization, okay? Here in Canada, we do have a distinct difference between a nonprofit and a charitable organization. They're two very different animals up here. Down in the U.S., as I've learned from being on the board on one down there, a nonprofit with some numbers behind it is very similar to what we would call a charitable organization. So obviously with some different rules in place. Since we're a socialist country, we also get more benefit from our charitable donations, by the way. Today is the 10th anniversary of the annual business seminar, as I said earlier. Today's attendance is approximately 345. It's about 20 less than last year, although I'm trying hard to remember where we would have put the extra 20 last year, but we must have fit them in somewhere, the 20 more last year. We are open again to expanding this as it's needed. This is the first year in quite a long time, maybe from the beginning, that it's actually leveled out, and we're all right with that. Obviously, this facility is kind of at max. However, if we will keep monitoring it, and we've talked of different solutions to that, whether it's running a second day, second facility. Obviously, all of those things take time and money and effort, keeping speakers around for an extra day to do it, a repeat and so on. But we certainly will keep that as an option if it is deemed to be needed. The group itself is made up, it's a very diverse, and it's one of the things that I have enjoyed in working in this organization and on this board, is I get to work with some people who I might not normally work with in a faith environment. We're a pretty diverse group on the board, and we do that on purpose. We try to pick from among the broader constituency, so that is the case. And to me, it's just a joy to be able to work in that environment where we can work together for a common cause. We might not all agree on everything, and that's all right. But to be able to pool our resources together for a common cause, I think is a good model that we should be working more towards when we can. Over the 10 years, we've had 50 different speakers and panelists, approximately 65 different topics. Some of you sometimes ask, how do we choose the topics? How do we pick a theme? Well, it's through various meetings and lots of hard work and just, you know, talking it over, and eventually we hammer it out. We do try to, you know, pick, we keep track of what we talk about over the years, and we try to make sure that all the various topics that are relevant to businesses are covered over a period of time. And obviously we try to get speakers who can handle those topics well, and that of course is also a challenge, but one that we've been blessed over the years to find good speakers. Growth in attendance has largely come from word of mouth, and we do a little bit of advertising, but not that much. In the spring of 2018, we launched the business advising program. Currently, we have, as I said before, we have three advisors that are engaged in this work on a part-time basis. They are Abner Weidman, Murray Martin, and that's not the Murray Martin on our board, but another Murray Martin, Marspan, and Harold Erb. In 2018, we had 8 new clients. In 2019, we had 10 new clients. This is a program that the board itself is not directly involved at, really, other than that we have helped to provide the perimeters for the counseling, and, you know, kind of the rules. We've kind of helped lay down those things and so on. But we purposely do not get involved in the cases. In fact, we don't know who those clients are as a board. So the process is simply this. If you, as a business owner or somebody, a business partner, whatever the case may be, and you have an issue, and, you know, I just put up a whole list of possibilities of what those things could be. It could be as simple as a new business idea that you have and you need some help with business planning. It could be helping to transition a business from one family member to another. It could be financial challenges that you are having, HR challenges, legal challenges. All of these things are different things that the counselors have advised. And, you know, someone mentioned it, and I really think there's some truth to it. I forget which topic I heard this mentioned. Maybe it was Glenn's upstairs. Business can be, and some people will be surprised at this, but business can actually be a very lonely thing. I think I've said it this way more than once. People will say it, that if you're successful, you must be a crook, and if you're not successful, you're just a bad manager. And you know, it sometimes seems like you can't win. But we know that it isn't that way. Not everybody understands the mind of a business person, and that's all right. That's fine. But what we're trying to do with this program is make it so that you can have a safe place that you can go to. It comes at a very reasonable charge, in my opinion. There is a charge for it, but the process is simply that you call up Philip or Paul, tell them what you have in mind. They will give you an application form that you can fill out. It will go over some of the things that will help define what your issues might be or what you're looking for. And then they will match you up with your permission to an advisor that they feel will, advisor or advisors as the case may be, that they feel will best meet your needs. And so again, if you are here, you are struggling with issues, you are looking for answers, or maybe you're just looking for advice, we really encourage you to make use of this resource. That's what it's there for. In regards to the Deacon and Financial Advisor Seminar, we hosted the first one on November the 16th of last year. It was a very successful event. We had 120 people attend. And I want to make this clear that the name in itself is maybe not the best name, other than what we're looking for is people that are involved in doing financial advising of any sort within your congregations. And one of the comments that was made in this is that it shouldn't just be the deacons there, it should also be the pastors, ministers, other people, other leaders in the church. Really, they should be there as well, because part of the whole of finding wholeness certainly is also not having financial issues and learning what to do with our material things that are given to us. It is a very real part of living, and I think the people that were there would all agree that just about anybody, but particularly any leaders in your congregation, whether they're ordained leaders or other people, and we did have quite a few non-leaders, but other people that are involved in helping out in financial issues in your church there, and there were a lot of things to be picked up. There is no cost to attend this event. All expenses are covered, as we said before, and plans are to host the next event on November the 13th, 2021. So you can mark that on your calendar. It won't be one this year, but the next year, if that is something that interests you. I gave you a sneak preview if you were looking real quickly, but our new board member is Marlon Gingrich. Thank you, Marlon, for agreeing to take on this job. I guarantee you will find it rewarding. Dennis, thank you very much for your willingness to let your name stand. The willingness to serve is half the battle, and we certainly very much appreciate that. The other five members of your board are there: Lowell Brubaker, John Erb, Abner Weidman, Murray Martin, and Tony Grove, who was the chairman again this past year. Paul Weber and Philip Hurst, I should mention, it is a volunteer board. We meet about 8 times a year, usually at 6:30 in the morning, for a few hours. Paul Weber and Philip Hurst are reimbursed a minimal amount to help cover their expenses, but they certainly put in a lot of hours and a lot of effort into this organization, and we very much appreciate it. I personally am thankful for the opportunity that I've had to serve on this or in this organization. It's been a pleasure. It's been a joy. I will miss those 6:30 morning meetings. At the same time, I'm a strong believer that a healthy organization is one that has a revolving board, that has new blood coming in at all times. And so with that, I am very happy to say that I am leaving the organization 6 years later, after first joining it, with the understanding that I feel it has made major strides in that time, not because of what I did, but it's been a joy to watch from the front lines and watch the organization expand and continue to meet more of our needs as an organization. I am excited about what God can do with men and women like you in this room, men and women who have the ability to continue to turn the world upside down. Yeah, some of the things that we do are a little bit different than what is generally understood to be common. And we don't do those things just to be different. We do those things because we believe, or I hope that we do those things because we believe that they are the things that will expand and increase God's kingdom. And I get excited about what God can do with a room full of 350 business people that are engaged and that have a vision for putting their resources into God's kingdom. And God bless each of you as you continue to do this. Thank you so much again for attending today. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Warren.